I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Friday, March 19th. There were 26 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy. Yesterday, the active case total is up to 222. The city's positivity rate is up to 2.77%. Quincy remains in the yellow category on the risk assessment map, and there have been 150 deaths. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch spoke directly to the city's largest minority population last night amid a national discussion of racism against Asian Americans. Across the country, Asian Americans have spoken out about past racist experiences and new fears after the community, already facing increasing discrimination amid the pandemic, appears to have been targeted in a series of spa attacks in Georgia. Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy spoke about his own experiences with discrimination as one of the state's few Asian lawmakers. In Quincy, the most recent demographic information estimates nearly 30,000 of the city's 94,000 residents are of Asian descent. In his comments, the mayor said that he was proud of the Asian Americans in Quincy and said that he's seen generations of immigrants grow to become absolutely vital to the fabric of the community. Koch encouraged anyone who has experienced a hate crime to contact the police department and his office. The chief of staff, Chris Walker, says there have been no reports of racist incidents in Quincy since the shootings this week. Norfolk County District Attorney Mike Morrissey, State Rep Tacky Chan, Quincy Police Chief Paul Keenan, Quincy Asian Resources, and others will all gather virtually next Tuesday at 7 p.m. for a forum on anti-Asian racism. Health officials are investigating a COVID-19 cluster linked to a youth cheer training facility in Weymouth. A total of 37 participants of the cheer training facility have tested positive for the coronavirus as of Thursday, according to the Weymouth Health Department. Town officials say they were notified by a parent on Monday. Four of those participants are Weymouth residents. The others are from Braintree, Rockland, Randolph, Quincy, Brookline, East Bridgewater, Hingham, Kingston, Marion, Franklin, Whitman, Dedham, and Easton. The count does not include any positive family members or contacts, as the health department says it's still being investigated. Cheer Sport Sharks is based in Canada and even has a Netflix show called Cheer Squad. The owner of the Weymouth facility, Kel Fichtner, said that she's followed all stringent guidelines over the past year. The health department says they're working to make sure everyone involved follows quarantine and isolation requirements to reduce the potential continued spread of the virus. Massachusetts is moving forward with plans to begin the fourth and final stage of the state's reopening plan next week, even as a coalition of community groups urges Governor Baker to reconsider. After announcing tentative plans last month, the Baker administration confirmed yesterday that the state will enter the first step of the Phase 4 plan Monday. That move will allow indoor and outdoor stadiums such as TD Garden and Fenway Park to reopen under a 12% capacity limit. Officials indicated those capacity restrictions will be eased over time if favorable trends in the state's COVID-19 rates continue. Many settings, from nightclubs to amusement parks included in Phase 4, must remain closed. The step on Monday also allows exhibition and convention halls to reopen, permits dance floors at weddings and other events, and paves the way for overnight summer camps to resume this summer. State is also relaxing gathering limits for event venues and public settings to 100 people indoors and 150 outdoors, while private gathering limits will remain at a maximum 10 people indoors, 25 outdoors. Public venues remain subject to the state's mask mandate, as well as other sector-specific safety rules and guidelines. with coronavirus rates down significantly since earlier in the winter and vaccination efforts ramping up, Massachusetts is eliminating the threat of fines for out-of-state travelers who don't quarantine or have a negative COVID-19 test. Governor Baker's office announcing that they will replace the state's travel order this coming Monday with a travel advisory, similar to what the state had in place up until last August. The new travel advisory will urge all individuals entering the state, including returning residents, to quarantine for 10 days upon their arrival if they've been out of state for more than 24 hours. Those who have been out of state for less than a day are exempt. The new advisory also includes exceptions for travelers who have a negative COVID test result from a test administered within 72 hours prior to their arrival, any essential workers who must enter the state for work, and anybody who is fully vaccinated. The Bay State Congressional Delegation calling on the MBTA to provide explanations as to why service cuts on subway and bus routes that began this week are needed, even as the state receives over $1 billion in transit funding through federal COVID-19 relief. In a letter to MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak, lawmakers wrote they never received a response to a letter they sent in December that expressed similar sentiments and concerns about reducing service. The T began the controversial cuts to subway and bus service Sunday as part of an attempt to make up for money the agency lost when ridership dropped off during the pandemic. Similar reductions were made to commuter rail and ferry service earlier this year. The cuts are intended to be temporary. T officials have said service will be restored as ridership rebounds. Still, the agency expects the return of ridership to pre-2020 levels to take several years, with the best-case scenario forecasting an 89% return of 2019 levels by 2026. By that point, a four-year budget deficit would total nearly $1.8 billion, even without current cost-saving efforts. Prosecutors announcing a breakthrough in a 37-year-old Pembroke cold case after investigators were able to match DNA from the murder scene to a Brockton man who died last year. DNA taken from the blood of 58-year-old Jesse Aylward, who died in February of last year, matched with a male DNA profile taken from items connected to the murder of Virginia Hannon. Hannon was 59 when she was found strangled and stabbed to death in 1984 in her West Street home in Pembroke. Investigators interviewed witnesses, followed tips, analyzed evidence, and conducted DNA testing several times over the decades. In 2018, the DA's office worked with the State Police Crime Lab to perform more testing on items from Hannon's home, including bloody paper towels, broken glass, and nylon stockings. Even with a male DNA profile taken from objects in the kitchen that were tied to her murder, genetic genealogy testing conducted by two companies did not yield any identifying information. They got a break in the case last year when a man contacted Pembroke police and reported that Aylward had told him that he had killed a person in Pembroke. Bay State lawmakers sending back to Governor Baker a sweeping climate change bill that has bounced between the Democratic-controlled legislature and the Republican governor for the past several months. The House voted 146-13 in favor of the bill, agreeing with the Senate, which voted 39-1 to again approve the legislation. The votes this week come after the House and Senate overwhelmingly approved the bill during the waning days of the prior formal session. Baker vetoed the bill, prompting lawmakers to quickly pass the bill early in the new session to get it back on his desk. Baker and lawmakers both say they support a key element of the bill, creating a net zero greenhouse gas emission limit by 2050. The legislature's bill includes additional steps like incremental goals every 5 years to reach a 50% reduction in emissions by 2030 before meeting the 2050 goal. Baker said he supports much of the legislation, but also said some elements of the bill could end up slowing the economy as it tries to rebound from the pandemic. City of Quincy has purchased its first electric vehicle. The Chevrolet Bolt was recently purchased for the Quincy Fire Department. The new car will be used to go to various fire inspections across the city. Fire Chief Joe Jackson says he's so impressed with the vehicle's performance, safety, and efficiency, he may purchase one for his own family. Mayor Thomas Koch says the new car represents the city's intent to transform the fleet from gas and diesel to electric vehicles wherever possible. The new car cost about $25,000 and was purchased using the fire department's existing capital budget. Electric car charging stations are located in the new parking garage in Quincy Center and the new Southwest Community Middle School. There are plans for 30 charging stations at the proposed new Quincy Police Station. Today, officials say City of Quincy vehicles account for a quarter of the greenhouse gas emissions. With the U.S. closing in on President Biden's goal of injecting 100 million vaccinations weeks ahead of his target date, the White House said the nation's now in position to help supply neighbors Canada and Mexico with millions of life-saving shots. The Biden administration revealed the outlines of a plan to loan a limited number of vaccines to Canada and Mexico. As the president announced, the U.S. is on the cusp of meeting his 100-day injection goal way ahead of schedule. For Asian Americans, 2020 was a year of political success and newfound influence, but also a time of vulnerability to racist assaults. The painful dichotomy will be on display today when President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, the first person of South Asian descent to hold national office, visit Atlanta just days after a white gunman killed 8 people, most of them Asian American women, in 3 metro area massage parlors. The killings come after a spike of anti-Asian violence nationally. The presidential trip was planned before the shooting as part of a victory lap aimed at selling the benefits of pandemic relief legislation. But Biden and Harris will instead spend their visiting consoling a community whose growing voting power helped secure their victory in Georgia and beyond. U.S.-Russia ties took a nosedive yesterday after Russian leader Vladimir Putin shot back at President Biden's description of him as a killer. The back and forth underscored Biden's desire to distance himself from former President Trump's perceived softness on Putin, despite actions his administration took against Russia. Although Biden agreed to extend a major arms control deal with Russia, he has been notably cool toward Moscow and highly critical of many of its activities. And taking a tough stance on Russia, Biden has said the days of the U.S. rolling over to Putin are done. And he's taken pains to contrast his style with the approach of Trump, who avoided direct confrontation and frequently spoke about Putin with approval. Number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits rose last week to 770,000, a sign that layoffs remain high, even as much of the U.S. economy is steadily recovering from the coronavirus recession. Yesterday's report from the Labor Department showed that jobless claims climbed from 725,000 the week before. The numbers have dropped sharply since the depths of the recession last spring, but still show that employers in some industries continue to lay off workers. Before the pandemic struck, applications for unemployment aid had never topped 700,000 in any one week. Check of business news. Stocks took a nosedive yesterday. The Dow lost 153. The NASDAQ dropped 409. The S&P fell 58. Global stocks are also lower. The dollar's down. The euro rose. Oil at $60 a barrel. Sports: Bruins beat the Sabres 4-1. Two teams play again tomorrow at 1. The Celtics host Sacramento tonight at 7:30. Forecast from the National Weather Service. For today, any rain or snow showers coming to an end. Windy and cooler with a high in the low 40s. Clear tonight, low 28. Lots of sunshine tomorrow for the first full day of spring, the high of 54 degrees. Nice on Sunday, lots of sunshine, high 55, and continued sunny on Monday, the high of 54. But the boater waves 2 feet, winds out of the north at 30 knots, some higher gusts, and a high tide at 4:30 this afternoon. Sun rising at 6:48, sets at 6:55. So again, any rain or snow showers coming to an end. A blustery day today with a high in the low 40s. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Friday, March 19th.